Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good evening, everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. It's always a pleasure to come your way. From now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you, and we'll be talking a bit on the parents, children issues. I mean, this month, that's what I've been talking about. I mean, protecting our children, praying for them, whatever, in the biblical way, I've been discussing. So, for those who are part of the broadcast list, you've been getting the prayer points for every night. It's a 30-day daring ourselves to pray as parents. You know, 30 days praying for our children every night, a set of prayer points, and we pray for them. It's important we take these things serious, because this week, not just yesterday, I went to my children's school and I was talking to the school owner. We were chatting, we are good friends, and she was telling another parent, okay, like all of us chatting, and then she says that if you are not ready to be prayerful for your children, you shouldn't give birth now, because the way the world is going now, it's only, we can only sustain our children through prayer. And I agree, because it's just something else. The evil world is something that prayer is our only defense, aside the counseling, the advice, and all that. So this month we are talking about these things, and I believe, God willing, on the 30th September, that will be a Saturday, I'll be joined by Pastor Roger from Accra by phone, and that one will make it more of a prayer meeting stroke, a little talk and all that. So God willing, next 2 weeks, that's the Saturday, the 30th, and then yeah, that's it. So first, let's get into some news this week, and then we'll get into a little discussion for the night. First, for those who have seen the Libya news, it's terrible. The disaster is something which is as if you are watching a disaster movie, and so far 11,300 dead, 10,000 still missing. You know, this whole rain comes in and two dams collapse, and that's actually what really caused the main disaster. So the dams collapsing, so the volumes of water that flow through the city of Derna is something. Disaster, massive one. I mean, clearing everything and anything in this path. To have over 10,000 dying and over 10,000 missing, it's really pathetic, really pathetic. You know, something is happening. You check the disasters happening in the world now, large scale ones, not just small, large scale. But it seems the world is just, you know, all we just do, the media we just do is, oh, it's like, oh, climate change. I mean, we just talk about it and that's it. But you see, something unusual is happening, because we are seeing magnitudes of disasters which is abnormal. Against, it's not the normal trend, you know, but the world is not paying attention to it in terms of what is happening, what is the message in this. So it's as if, well, I mean, these things can happen. If you are unlucky and it happens in your country or in your town or in your city, well, it's up to you, but business as usual, the sinning will continue, the lifestyles will not change. It's as if we don't care anything that happens. Well, we live today, we die tomorrow. The world has become so stubborn by the dealings and lifestyles that, I mean, there's no point in, like, people at the point, oh, let's pause and reflect and ask questions. So what if this disaster happens and I die tomorrow? Or, you know, I mean, people are really not bothered about the after death again, afterlife again, what happens when they die. It's as if nobody is talking about these things again. So we are just living, enjoying life. Well, anything happens, we don't care. But I believe We have a message to deliver, and we should be delivering that message. There's a failure on the part of believers, massive failure. These attempts let us understand the importance that we should be delivering the message that we have to those who do not believe in Christ and those who are not saved. G20 announces plan to impose digital currencies and IDs worldwide. So the group of 20 leaders have agreed to a plan to eventually impose digital currencies and digital IDs on their respective populations, despite fears that government will use them to monitor their people's spending cards and spending, and then the crash descent. But then the G20, which is currently under India's presidency, adopted the final declaration on the subject over the weekend in New Delhi. The meeting, which included the world's leading economists, announced last week that they had agreed to build the necessary infrastructure to implement digital currencies and IDs. You know, I've spoken a lot about this central bank digital currency in previous editions. You know, it's the biggest drawback or one limiting factor or one worrying factor with this CBDCs is the fact that the issue of privacy being taken away in your spending and the control that governments will have over citizens. And that raises a lot of red flags, because it's like your whole spending is monitored and you can be taken out of the financial system by the click of a button somewhere on a computer somewhere. So you can be taken off the system, and once you are taken off, you are crippled, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, you are just taking off the grid, because everything is digital. You're spending everything real time digital. So if, let's say, you don't comply with whatever the government puts in and you are being punished, all they have to do is just get into your record, disable you the database, and that is it. You are off the transaction system, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. So this, it gives a lot of worry to people. Is this something that is headed towards the global system controls and all that? It looks similar though, so well, time will tell. Okay, then we have this next news item that says Voice of the Martyrs is a NGO, Christian NGO, that talks about martyrdom, Christian persecution and all that. Voice of the Martyrs aid displaced Christians after mob destroys 25 churches and 80 homes in Pakistan. Then the next one says pastors and church members arrested over false claims of inducing religious conversions. So Christians in Uttar Pradesh, that's in India, have voiced grave alarm after nearly 25 believers, including pastors, were arrested in the previous week over supposed conversion efforts by authorities. Pastor Jitendra Singh, the General Secretary of Pastors Association of Uttar Pradesh, told UCA News that 20 Christians were arrested September 10th in Kanpur, 3 on September 13th in Azamgarh, and then 2 September 14th in Oriya districts. Although the 20 Christians in prison in Kanpur were freed the same day, the three believers from Azamgarh had little chance. They were detained by the police after residents said they were given cash inducements and had gathered a sizable group of men and women with the intention of converting them to Christianity. There is little chance that they would be released even if they submit a conventional bail application, according to a Christian activist who asked to remain unnamed. You know, there's a law in part of India which bars you from converting, preaching to someone to convert from his religion to your religion, and the target is Christians, so that Christians cannot preach to Hindus to become Christians. And you see, the issue is sometimes or most times there's no inducement. Nobody is giving money for someone to become a Christian, but they see works, they see the power of God at work, and they follow. So if you go and preach in a village and there are signs and wonders following, of course people will gather and gravitate towards the signs and the wonders, and they want to know the Jesus. And if they say they are giving their life to Christ, or maybe NGO is sharing goodies, food, education supplies to these rural communities, they will say, you are bribing the people to be become Christians. But the issue is not about you bribing them to be Christians. But, you know, we all know that Christians are giving out things. They are helping the poor and the needy. So now these people misconstrue these givings as bribery. I mean, using it to induce people to become Christians. But that is not the issue. And it's something. The persecution these people are going through in some of the parts of India is terrible. You read some and it's really, really worrying. All right, to Nigeria, where you have terrorists and radical Fulani herdsmen slaughtering Christians in the Plateau State. Fulani herdsmen and other terrorists on Sunday killed 10 Christians in Plateau State, Nigeria, where 27 others were slain in August, according to sources. Oh boy. Okay, then we go to UK, where we have Christian doctor found not guilty of serious misconduct for praying with patients. So a Christian doctor who shared his faith with a vulnerable patient has been cleared of serious misconduct by a medical tribunal. The Medical Practitioners Tribunal Service concluded, however, that Dr. Richard Scott overstepped the boundaries when he prayed with the patient. Prayer, just prayer. Scott saw the 19-year-old man at the Bethesda Medical Center. Well, if you're in Bethesda. I mean, how can you be in Bethesda and not pray? Bethesda Medical Center in Margate, Kent, England, on August 25th, 2022. And according to BBC, the patient has a history of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and was suffering from poor mental health at the time of his appointment. During the consultation, Scott is alleged to have talked about his faith and clasped the man's hands in prayer before giving him a Bible. Scott was brought before the tribunal after the patient's mother complained to NHS England. The doctor, who has practiced since 1983, told the tribunal that he engaged in a conversation about faith after receiving the patient's consent. The patient said he felt uneasy when the doctor allegedly suggested that he reconnect with God. The tribunal concluded that although Scott received consent to embark on the conversation, he then overstepped the boundaries. It added, Dr. Scott's actions did not cross the high threshold required to be considered serious misconduct. Scott has been investigated in the past for offering to pray with patients and in 2012 received a warning letter from the General Medical Council. The tribunal is considering whether Scott should receive a second warning. I mean, as simple as that, prayer with your patient. And it's like heaven is really you do this as Christians and something that makes heaven happy, but clearly the devil is not happy with it. So his systems that he has in place against these things will rise up against you. So you question how we've become so, this generation has become so anti-God, that a simple prayer with a patient can, and actually there have been cases where people have lost their jobs in some places, nurses have been penalized simply for even talking about Christ with a dying patient or with a patient, and I mean, all sorts of things. You hear it and you just marvel as to why we can do this to ourselves. The hatred for God and anything God, anything Christ, anything godly is serious. Alright, so this one, I'm sure some of you will find yourself in this report I'm about to read. Excessive scrolling on TikTok and apps can lead to sleep problems. But many are addicted, according to the reports. Many Americans are addicted. But I know this doesn't apply to America alone. It applies to we here in Kumasi, Ghana, and all the listeners wherever they are in the world online. So even though health experts have long warned that the practice can cause insomnia, nearly 40% of Americans admit to scrolling through apps like TikTok before bedtime, and more than half say they do it to help themselves wind down, a new survey shows. The new study of 1,500 Americans conducted by Mattress Next Day found that 39% of Americans admit to being obsessed with scrolling through apps on their phones before bedtime, and 56% say they believe that scrolling through apps helps them wind down. A staggering 68% of respondents also admitted to using their phones within an hour of going to sleep every night. Results from the study show that people spend nearly 6 hours during the work week watching videos on YouTube, making it to the top social app among respondents for the period. On weekends, however, TikTok is the top distraction at night. Overall numbers show Facebook remains top social media app amongst Americans, followed by Instagram, which was selected by 60.7% of respondents, then TikTok, chosen by 42.4% of respondents. Despite there being lots of research showing that blue light can affect sleep, more than 2/3 of Americans admit to using phones, iPads, and other electronic devices before bed, the researchers noted. And then goes on saying, when asked why, 56% said to wind down, 50% said they could reply to messages from family and friends sent earlier in the day. And then to a lesser extent, people said they scroll on their apps before bed to look at something they couldn't attend, to check the number of likes and comments on something they've posted, or to post new content on their social media channels. According to Northwestern Medicine, blue light suppresses the brain's production of melatonin, which is a hormone that helps with sleep, timing, and circadian rhythms. So blue light isn't new, but in nature, it's most abundant in the morning hours, which signals to the brain it's time to wake up and be alert. So this is, well, a warning to those who are addicted to their phones and scrolling before they sleep. You know, the devil has managed to distract us with all sorts of things. So previously, Christians would be reading their Bibles, would be chatting and all that. Now, the phones are making us slaves to technology. Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. All right. Let me read this one. George Banner. Is a lot of the research, I mean, that I've been, like, statistics, the polls I've been reading on this program, is done by his institution. I mean, George Banner's company. George Banner, and this one says, George Banner, most Christians don't know what a disciple is. A noted researcher is attributing societal problems in the U.S. to a tradition from a biblical worldview to alternative philosophies. And I keep saying that a lot of these scientific research works would apply here if indeed we are to do same research. Prominent Christian researcher George Banner spoke at the Family Research Council's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit on Friday, discussing his new book, Raising Spiritual Champions, Nurturing Your Child's Heart, Mind, and Soul. You know why I'm interested in this? Because of the topic we're discussing this month. He began his speech by warning that the challenges facing American society stem from a transition from the biblical worldview to alternative philosophies, identifying our societal problems as the symptoms of that shift. The only true social crisis is a worldview crisis. The result is a paucity of Jesus' disciples. We treat the symptoms rather than the cause of the crisis, Banner asserted, outlining statistics often used to refute the idea that there is a worldview crisis in America. Specifically, Banner documented that there are 174 million self-identified Christians that constitute 68% of the country, 90 million theologically defined born-again Christians that account for 35% of the population, 128 million Christians who believe in the existence of the God of Israel that make up 50% of the population, 84 million who go to a Christian church once a week that account for 33% of the population, 46 million self-identified Christians that are deeply committed to their faith that add up to 18% of the population. then goes on to say that none of these things constitute what a disciple is. He said, Banner also rejected the definition of a disciple as a good person, noting that all people are sinners. He had a similar rebuttal to the definition of a disciple as someone who believes in God, stressing that Satan and demons believe in God as well. Yeah, that's true. Reacting to the definition of a disciple as someone who attends church, he emphasized that Christians have an obligation to be the church rather than just go to church. Banner also pushed back on the idea that anyone with a Christian upbringing is a disciple, insisting that discipleship is not inherited. He pointed to examples of Jesus directly defining the term disciple in the Bible, including John 8:31, which calls on disciples to obey Jesus' teachings. Additional passages cited by Banner as illustrative of what constitutes a disciple include John 13:35, which instructs disciples to love one another, and John 15:8, which orders disciples to produce spiritual fruit. Banner also discussed demands made on disciples in the Gospel of Luke, which include orders to love God beyond all else, submit to God's authority, and fully surrender to God. He ultimately defined a disciple as someone who lives like Jesus because they think like Jesus. The researcher concluded that most people do not act like Christ because they do not think like him. To consistently think like Jesus, you need a biblical worldview. The intellectual, emotional, and spiritual filter that enables you to consistently and confidently make decisions that he would make, Banner added. He maintained that a lack of a biblical worldview among parents poses problems for their children, sharing statistics finding that less than 1% of adolescents and teenagers are on track to have a biblical worldview. Let me repeat. Less than 1% of adolescents and teenagers are on track to have a biblical worldview. And this is extremely worrying. You see, even in Christian homes, not much is being done. So they are growing up to their teenage levels and they are eagerness and interest in spiritual things is declining. It's reducing. They are not reading. Their interest in the Word of God is reducing, unlike when they were much younger in primary school. And so there must be a conscious effort. And that's what we are talking about, I mean, this whole period and all that. So this is the real world we are in. But it's not all bad news. This next one is this week, my most exciting news, let me put it that way. The U.S. Tennis Open, they played it, but something interesting happened. Coco Gauff, that's the lady who won the women's one. Coco Gauff's U.S. Open win is a triumph for faith and family values. So when 19-year-old tennis sensation Coco Gauff delivered a comeback win over new world number one women's tennis player Arena Sabalenka of Belarus in the US 2023 Open Women's Final on September 9th. She also delivered a big win for Christian faith and family values on the national stage. Well, I would say on the international stage because it became international news. It was, seen across networks and all. Gauff, who is a member of a historic St. John Missionary Baptist Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, generated multiple headlines when she briefly dropped to her knees at the tennis court side after the match and publicly said a prayer. And it was a beautiful thing to see. You know, the fact that this lady in front of the cameras, in the tennis courts, after winning, it's like the first thing she does is to go on her knees in the stadium surrounded by all the fans and everyone and thanking God. It was just beautiful. So it goes on to say that Gauff, the knees are to say a prayer. Then quotes, he says, "I was just saying thank you. and I understood all the tough times were just to make that moment even sweeter. The teenage champion would later tell Hoda Kotb and Savannah Guthrie on Today, quote, "I think if it came easy, I wouldn't feel as appreciative as I did in that moment, clearly. Golf's wholesome image and dedication to her faith has made her a media darling, fan favorite, and advertiser's dream. This dream, however, would not have been possible without her dedicated parents, Candy and Corey Golf, who taught her well and provided her with a supportive home." And then we have, which many researchers agree help children to thrive. So you have, quote, "Marriage provides relationship clarity and encourages good things like sacrifice and forgiveness, which are also important when children are involved," explains Marriage Foundation founder Harry Benson in his recently published Sources of Family Breakdown in the UK. When ESPN analyst and former professional tennis player Mary Jo Fernandez asked the teenage Grand Slam champion about the importance of her faith at the end of her US Open match on September 9th, she said, "You know, it's been so important. You know, it's been so important. I don't pray for results. I just ask that I get the strength to give it my all. And whatever happens, happens," she added. "I'm so blessed in this life. So I'm so thankful for this moment. I don't have any words for it, to be honest." The reason why it's so important is the fact that we are in a generation where people are hiding their faith. People are afraid of being cancelled by the woke liberal media and social media, the bashing and being cancelled because you are a Christian. You stand, especially you're a celebrity and you stand for God and Christ and all that. The fact that she defied all that, didn't care what people think, didn't care about what the media will say, didn't care whether she will lose sponsorships or whatever, but still stand by her faith that I am a Christian and I thank God first for winning this championship. In the glaring eyes of all, it's such a bold thing to do. See, we have to stand our ground irrespective of what people think about us and what people say. And for this, it's a 19-year-old lady to do this, irrespective of the intimidation that this the media, you see, the media can really put pressure on you when it comes to faith issues, because it's like as if they want to ridicule. I mean, you still believe in a certain Jesus. I mean, it's a myth. I mean, you see, so they really always want to go the stream of ridiculing our faith. So for those who ignore that pressure of the woke media and the social media and the celebrity system and all that, and still stand their ground, see, but the parents, the article comes in with how she's been brought up. See, in a godly home. So it comes, see, this level of faith and boldness in public, it's not just an overnight type of Christianity. No, this is the foundational upbringing. She was well taught in her faith, to grow in her faith. You see, so from childhood, she's been introduced to Christ, and she's growing in her faith. She's not departed from the faith. She's not left her faith because of her fame as a good tennis player and winning and all that. But she's still holding on to her faith. And that's one lesson we should learn from these things in terms of we teaching our children to, irrespective of the situation, still hold on to their faith. And we as parents to strive to bring up children in the fear of God. Bring up children who do not fear what people will say about them, but can be bold to pray wherever they are. Now people are afraid to even pray at the restaurants. They feel shy to pray at the restaurants. It's like people will look, you still pray over food in this modern day, 2023, you still pray over food. You know, people are just, the traditions which we learned over the years that are right and good, Now people feel ashamed about it, and some think it's some antiquated something, old school. It's no longer necessary. No, but how can you fear, or how can you think prayer is no longer necessary at a time when you should be praying even more? See, we are at a time when prayer should even be more than it used to be, because evil has stepped up to different levels. That is also when we think we are shy of praying. So instead of praying, we are even shy, we will not pray. But let's be bold wherever we are. We shouldn't feel shy to pray at the restaurants or at school, wherever. In office, you are eating, lunchtime, you are coming to eat, you are shy, all your friends are sitting at the table. You are shy that you alone will be the one praying. No. Be bold, yes, you are a Christian. And so what? Yes, you should be proud to be a Christian, and you should be bold to defend that belief. That's what I'm talking about. You see, because we are at the point where if you don't openly declare your faith, you see, that issue of temptation, compromise, and all, it can affect us if we don't come out boldly to defend what we believe in. Then it becomes easy to just hide under the shadows. Oh, are you a Christian? Actually, once in a while, I'll go and visit. You see, you are not bold to say that, yes, I'm a Christian. Because you fail if you say you are a Christian. Hey, and you too, you are one of those. Like, you don't want us to be tagged with, you are one of those people. You are one of those people. You see, but this is the time to let everybody know, yes, I'm a Christian, and I'm proudly a Christian. I mean, there's nothing bad about it. So let's stand our ground. Let's teach our children these values. They should be bold to pray in school when they are eating. They should be bold. They should not be ashamed about it. No. If you don't teach them these values, a time will come, like just as I read George Barnes' report on this worldview as the Christian, having the worldview that Christ, the word of the Bible and everything is my life, gradually we'll be handpicking what is important. So it's only when it's something that we think, okay, this one, we ascribe it to Christ, we let Christ come in. But when it doesn't matter, that we think this is not too important, we leave Christ out of it. You see, it should be holistic. If we are Christians, we are Christians. You know, let's liken it to the military. Like the soldiers. You see, we have two categories. Soldiers, like in the world, everywhere in the world, you have two types of, you have the normal citizens, like, myself, a normal citizen, and we have the military. Everything about the military is different from the civilian system. So, they have their own set of regulations and systems and all in place for them. In Ghana, we don't see that much, but like in the US, where they are really revered by the system, even in the big shops and all, there are places where once you are a military, you have your ID card or in the uniform and all that, you can even get discounts in some shops. Sometimes, some places, restaurants, they can just even give you free food just because you are a military or even a veteran and all. So they are proud to stand and say that, yes, I'm a military person. Because the honor badge is just too good. You are proud to be one, identify as one. So the military have their own set of lifestyles, their own set of rules and everything that regulates their life and everything. Just like the Christian, we are soldiers of Christ. Our lives cannot be the same as the ordinary person outside Christ. Unfortunately, we always want to be like everyone else, forgetting that we are soldiers of Christ. And if we are soldiers of Christ, then we should live as such. So we just cannot be like the civilians, quote and unquote, in this case, where it's like they can live carelessly, there are no rules, they are lawless, there are no proper systems to regulate them like the military has. You see, so we should see ourselves as we are soldiers of Christ. And we should be proud to be so, because it comes with that honor of being a soldier of Christ. Ultimately, we should be proud about it. But now we are shy, don't want to defend our faith, we can't even defend our faith in some instances. There are some believers who, if you really push them to the limits and push them hard to defend the faith, why are you a Christian? Some will fumble, some cannot explain why they are Christians. Yes, but you see, we should be able to defend our faith. Why do you believe in Christ? You should be able to defend it. Because if you cannot defend your faith, how else can you introduce someone else into your faith? That's the issue. You see? So we should be bold to be able to defend our faith. I'll be back after this short interlude.
Oh Lord, into your hands I commit the lives of myself and my son.
Are you sure you want to do this, Dad?
Oh yeah.
Please keep us safe. Don't let me down now.
Go ahead. Start the car.
Okay.
Very good. Now, back it out of the driveway.
Brake! Lord, let it break!
Oh, there's the brake.
Prayer allows us to bring our concerns to an all-powerful God.
Your speed is good. You're doing okay, son.
He's swerving. Oh, Lord, help us. He's swerving!
Moving a little too close to the center line.
Sorry, it helped me go straight.
The ditch! Lord, don't let us run into the ditch!
Cutting a little close over here, son.
Prayer gives us comfort.
Oh, Lord, please let us safely make this left turn.
Can I turn now?
Well, wait for the traffic to clear. Wait for the traffic!
Wow, that was close!
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, it brings us closer to God.
I really feel comfortable driving with you, Dad. Thanks for being so calm.
Prayer can also make us a better parent. Have you prayed lately? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Here you go, kids. Hope this helps your food drive.
Wow! Thanks, mister!
Whoa, you gave them $20?
Yeah. Did you see the expression on their faces?
Well, they were pretty surprised.
Most people would only give a buck, but not me. You know, it's things like this that get a person into heaven.
Really? Where did you hear that?
It's in the Bible, I guess.
Where in the Bible does it say that being good will get you into heaven?
Oh, I don't know, but it's a generally well-known fact.
Well, if being good is all that's needed to get into heaven...
Yeah?
Then why did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Well, I don't know. I never thought about that before.
You know, Bob, Jesus said, "I am the way. No man comes to the Father except through me."
Yeah?
Considering that heaven and hell are both one-way tickets, don't you think you ought to look into why Jesus died a little bit more?
You mean that $20 isn't going to get me into heaven? Kids! Hey, kids!
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Okay, I'm going to collect his money back. Okay. All right, I'm Eben, back to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. You know, we are talking about parenting and ourselves and the children and all that. There's one aspect of the Bible which, when the Holy Spirit started giving me insights about it, it was really fascinating. I can't finish all, but let me just give a few highlights this evening. You know, when you take the book of Kings, 1 Kings, and then I think part of 2 Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you will notice something very fascinating. You can take a pen and paper and write, and you can take time to read these parts well. So let's just get going. I'll just give the verses and then read a few, and then I'll talk a bit. So you have... Yeah, okay, let's start from... Okay. Yes. Okay, so let's get 1 Kings 15:10. So, and 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maaka, the daughter of Abishalom. 1 Kings 15:10. So you can write that one, and then you can read the 15, so 10 and 11. And then 1 Kings 22:44. 1 Kings 22:44. So that one you have, his mother's name was Azuba, the daughter of Shili. And then, so 42 and then 43. So 1 Kings 22:42 and 43. Then you have 2 Kings 8:26. Now, once you have, and his mother's name was Atalia, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And then you have 2 Kings 12:1. Now, once you have, and his mother's name was, see, these were the kings, some of the kings of Israel. And as you go on, so, okay, you realize, so 2 Kings 12, verse 1, then you can add verse 2, then 2 Kings 14, verse 2, and then verse 3. So that one too. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And see, you would see something very interesting. How evil they were and how good they were. It was the mother's influence. And his mother's name was. And his mother's name was. And his mother's name was. You realize that the parents played a key role. So you have instances where the father was bad, the grandfather was bad. So the father was a king, did evil in the sight of the Lord. The grandfather did evil in the sight of the Lord. But then this grandchild comes to be king, and he is doing good. And then you see his mother's name was. So you ask yourself, because if the father was evil, the grandfather was evil, automatically you assume that then the son will also be evil when he becomes king. But then you realize instances where the king, this grandson, doesn't become evil. He rather does good in the sight of God. And you see, the mother's name was. You see, some years back I read the research where it pointed to the fact that when it comes to spiritual things, in as much as last week I said it, but I'm repeating it because of the importance of it, the head of the family is the father. But when it comes to the influence of morality in the word, teaching the word and all that, parents, the mothers have a stronger influence than the fathers. The mothers have a stronger influence on the children than the fathers. You see, so you realize how these things play out. Where, how good they became kings or how bad they became kings, it was the influence of the mother. So, see, likewise, if our children will be strong in the Lord, as Proverbs 22 talks of, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he goes, he will not depart from it. In as much as the fathers have a role to play, the mothers should do very well to take it up as a project on themselves, that I'm going to ensure that my child really grows in the fear of God and will not fall away, because that bond of mother and child is very strong. It's a very strong one. God has created it that way, because it's the mother who gave birth to the child. So if the mother is playing that influential role in the child's life, it has a lasting impact. So this evening, my plea, let me just read a few more. It goes on 2 Kings 15:33, 2 Kings 18:2, 2 Kings 21 verse 1, 2 Kings 21:19, 2 Kings 22 verse 1, 2 Kings 23:31, 2 Kings 23:36, 2 Kings 24 verse 8. It goes on, the mother's name, the mother was called, the mother's name, the mother was called, and then you see, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did good. You see, so it follows and follows and follows. The mothers played a role in the kings of Israel. It's so critical and so interesting how the mothers played this influence in the child's life, or those who were adults, but even the adults and the mother. So the mother was influencing, the mother's upbringing, the mother's training. In those days, kings are very busy, they have multiple wives and all that. So whichever son is going to be the king, most likely will be spending more time with the mother, and the mother is training that child, whether to be a good child or a bad child. And the saddest part is, you see good kings, and then their children come and they do bad things. Good kings and their children will come and do bad. And you see, also see the bad kings and their children come and they do good. You see, so the influence of parents, the mother in this case, is very, very strong. Unfortunately, that research, I don't remember where I saved it. I really wanted to get it as well too, but I'll see if I get it in the course of this month or whatever. I'll read it. You see, so mothers have a strong influence, and let's use this influence positively. let's use it, this influence positively, because we are in a generation where we must do everything possible to save the children. We must do everything possible. And if you, the mother, you are not even strong spiritually, how then can you help the children? You see, so we have a role to play as mothers to build ourselves up spiritually. We should exercise our spiritual, our interest in spiritual things, growing ourselves in the Lord, in prayer, in the Bible, so that we can also then impart these things to the children appropriately. But if you, the mother, you are not praying, you, the mother, you are not reading your Bible, you are not doing your quiet time, how then can you help your children to grow along those lines? You see? So it's very important. We have to be serious as parents, because at the end of the day, these children, we are going to be accountable to God for them, because it's a reason why God gave us. There's a reason. Let me read this one example, for instance, where you have Josiah, 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, 8-year-old child. Noah, his father, did evil. His grandfather did evil. So an 8-year-old clearly is under tutoring and leadership of parents. But in this case, since the father was evil, it was the mother who was guiding the child to do good. So an 8-year-old king comes. 8 years. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah in Bosca. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father. I mean, in this case, referring to the previous king. David was not his direct father, but the lineage walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right or to the left. To the right or to the left. See, so it's interesting. And Manasseh, you read Manasseh too. Manasseh was the grandfather, and Manasseh was one of the most evil and wicked kings that ruled. So 2 Kings 21, Manasseh was 12 years. Can you imagine? 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 45 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Evil in the sight of the Lord. And if you read more about Manasseh, he did a serious evil. Then his son, Manasseh's son, Amon, was, that's verse 21:19, 2 Kings 21:19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Haruz of Jopta. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So Manasseh, evil. His son Amon, evil. Now then, the 22 one that I read, Josiah comes in 8 years, and he did right, because his mother. So the influence, it runs through. You see it for most of the kings, it's recorded. So grandfather bad, father bad, but 8-year-old son comes, and he is doing the right thing. Per the age, 8 years, when he was born, his father was evil, and he didn't even, the grandfather had died already. So where did he learn the good from? Obviously not from the father. It was the mother who taught him to be good. You see, so let's see these things as motivation to us, that if we don't do what we have to do, of course, this is not to let the men shirk their responsibility as fathers of their homes, or heads of the family, spiritual heads, the priest of the home and all that. No. That role is there, so you have to do your parental role as a father. But the mothers should also know how important they should use their influence and their bond to influence the children positively. That's what I'm saying. Because we cannot say that, oh, the father is there, so you, the mother, you just relax. The father, okay, the father is a pastor, so you expect that he should do everything regarding their upbringing, the Christian training and everything. Yes, the father will do what he has to, but you shouldn't leave it to him, because it should be a joint project you are working on. But the mothers have a stronger influence. So let's take advantage as parents, the mothers, take advantage of it to influence the children in a better way. In a better way. You see, so, you see, this whole parenting, the times we are in and parenting, has gotten to the point where we have to take it by force. The violence should take it by force, because it's like by force. You have to ensure that your children do not go wayward. You do not lose your children to the system. Because the forces of darkness are doing everything to pull the children away from God through all sorts of contamination and pollution in the systems and all that. But we must stand as watchmen or watchwomen, whatever we call ourselves, to guard and protect them. That's no way. You cannot go beyond as we, the parents, our children, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, I mean, whichever hedge, praying for the hedge of protection. We have to pray for our children. We have to pray, cover them, teach them, guide them, build them up in the fear of God. Because, you see, if you close your eyes a little, you will lose your child. Not death, but you lose your child to the moral decay all around the system, I mean, us in the system. Because if we just think, oh, when they grow, because now if you hear some of the things children, toddlers are even doing and talking about, it will amaze you. So we shouldn't gamble with the fact that when they grow, they will know the Lord. No, what if by the time they grow, they already spoiled? What if? You see, you don't wait for them to get spoiled before now you try to amend and correct them. Train them in the way they should go right from the instant. You don't wait. So right from the instant, you are training them in the way they should go. So that by the time they are hitting the early teens and all that, they are being channeled in the right way. Like this tennis star I read about. If there is the training from infancy that will keep a child on that path of God-fearing, God-loving, being bold before the whole world to kneel and pray and thank God. It takes a right attitude of upbringing. So we should all challenge ourselves that we are going to do what has to be done. Because, you see, I mean, when those who listen, when I had the SU Ashanti region, some of the executives here for a period of about 5 weeks, we were talking of the things happening in our schools and all that. It's serious. The drugs, come on, you hear things, the weed is now, you know, put it in biscuits, in toffees, in sobolo, all sorts of things. And yesterday I was told a woman drank sobolo or something, biscuit or something, and for 1 week the woman was feeling sleepy and drowsy. She didn't know. Feeling sleepy and drowsy for a whole week. She couldn't control herself. Apparently it was drug laced, something that she took. So when she was able to get to the hospital, that's what they were able to identify that it was weed and some mixture or whatever. And they are selling these things in the system. I mean, the day I was told about this, that the sobolo that they sell, the women sell, some are selling two types. So the members know them. They know how they say. So the prices are, the most expensive one is the one that they have the weed mixed in. And then the cheaper one is the normal sobolo that, you know, But then those who want to buy the weed-laced sobolo, they will mention, the price. So, example, if it's 5 cedis, per 5 cedis, then that means that's the weed one. And then the 3 cedis one is the normal one. So the members know, and that's how they identify it. They just mention the price. I want this one. A friend in Accra took a guest in his office, like an inspector from outside came to do inspection in their company. So just took the client, the inspector, to factory inspector, whatever, to the ossuary to buy some artifacts, souvenirs, and all for the person. And they said, oh, let's go to the restaurant to eat. And my friend said, oh, they were giving Sobolo to drink. He requested for that one. And for the next, he told me, is it 3 days or 4 days? His mind was something. It's like as if, so it was dragged. He didn't know. So he started having hallucinations. He struggled. So eventually, when he was able to regain a bit of normalcy, he went to the hospital, and the doctor told him that, it's drug that they put in the thing. So I think the seller at the restaurant, the server at the restaurant, waiter, whatever, made a mistake and served him with. So that means there are members only who come and request for those things. But they made a mistake and they gave him, whether mistake or intentional, well, I don't know, but I think it's a mistake. And they gave him the members only drug-laced one. So this is the world we are in, where all sorts of things are happening. All sorts of things are happening. So a parent will see the child drinking Sobolo. But meanwhile, the child has bought the drug-laced one, is enjoying it, and the parent think, oh, my son is innocent. This is the world we are in, where evil is staring at us. So that's why we need to pray. We need to work hard, ensure that we groom them and train them and pray for them and guide them in the fear of God. So for those who are on the broadcast list, yes, it continues. For those who are not on the broadcast list and who still want to join the prayer for the month, praying for the children, the prayer points and all that, you can send me a WhatsApp. I'll add you to it. My number doesn't change or hasn't changed the same. 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. Send hi and your name so that I'll save and add it to the broadcast list as well. So this is recorded. It will be put on spiritissues.info and on the Telegram group Spirit Issues. Good night and thank you for listening to the program. I'm Eben. God bless you.
Hope this helps your food drive.
Wow! Thanks, mister!
Whoa, you gave them $20?
Yeah. Did you see the expression on their faces?
Well, they were pretty surprised.
Most people would only give a buck, but not me. You know, it's things like this that get a person into heaven.
Really? Where did you hear that?
It's in the Bible, I guess.
Where in the Bible does it say that being good will get you into heaven?
Oh, I don't know, but it's a generally well-known fact.
Well, if being good is all that's needed to get into heaven...
Yeah?
Then why did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Well, I don't know. I never thought about that before.
You know, Bob, Jesus said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah?
Considering that heaven and hell are both one-way tickets, don't you think you ought to look into why Jesus died a little bit more?
You mean that $20 isn't going to get me into heaven? Kids! Hey, kids!
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.